prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can't prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The Truth Revolution.
Welcome to Truth Revolution. This is where faith and reason meet. I'm Pastor Dave.
Yeah.
That's Pastor Jeff, and we are from Revolution Church.
Thanks for joining us today. Today, we're going over some non-controversial stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, we talk about science, logic, and faith, because we believe science leads us to truth.
Right.
We believe faith leads us to truth if you're doing it right. All these things lead us to truth if you're doing it the right way. We love science. We love God. We love Jesus. Today, we're going to take a little break out of the science realm. We're going to get into just the Bible. We're going to talk about Bible study tools.
Right on. Talking about all about equipping people.
Yeah, because I've had so many conversations lately with people saying, look, I want to read the Bible. You know, I love the show. I love Revolution Church. Mm-hmm. So I want to read the Bible more. It's helped me out a lot, but I don't understand what I'm reading.
Right.
And so we want to read it well. We want to do a good job. So today we're just going to go through, this is going to be super practical. We're just going to go through some Bible study tools, things that you need if you want to read the Bible and want to understand it. Now, you know our cracked acronym.
Yes.
Right. You gotta be thinking in terms of cracked when you read, you know, the context, the C. You know what? Don't just read one verse. Read above it. Read below it.
Right.
Right. You got the R, which is what?
Revealed.
Meaning
that the Holy Spirit reveals the truth to you or reveals the meaning to you.
Yeah. So before we do any Bible study, what should we do?
We should probably pray
and ask God to reveal the truth to us.
Yeah.
Right? Because tell him what we wanted to know this stuff. Because really, the Bible is a spiritual tool, and our ability to understand that needs spiritual eyes and spiritual mind. And so ask God to give you that. And then the A. It's
author's intent.
So when you're reading it, don't be all weird and read something that, you know, they picked up the pigskin and they threw it down the field. Like, why did they pick up the skin of a pig? Like, no, just think, what's the dude communicating, right? Like, he's communicating football. Just read what the person's trying to communicate to you, not every single word, all just total wooden literal.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next C.
Credibility.
That's right. If you come across something weird, don't just go, well, that's stupid, and move on.
Right. Don't just cast it aside.
Right. Just try to figure out, well, why would have they said that? I mean, these were intelligent people that God prophesied through and wrote his word.
Yep.
I mean, figure out why they said it that way. And then we have the K.
Knit together.
Which means you can't just read one book. You can't just read one section. You have to remember that this is all knit together. When we get some of these Bible study tools, we're going to get into like Bible dictionaries and things like that. These are tools that are going to help you understand how, like when you're reading in the book of Matthew, how it relates to the book of Genesis.
Right. When I was a kid, I had a long sleeve sweater, and there was one time I had a little bit of a thread that was kind of hanging off the end.
Yeah.
And so I started pulling on it, and pretty soon it started cinching up around my neck. And so, I mean, it's like, so it's the truth. I mean, like these things that like it is knit together, the Bible from beginning to end. If you look at it through the lens of Christ, that's what it is.
Exactly. Plus, you know, when you get into parts of the Bible where it talks about Christ is the second Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you haven't understood what the first Adam is, if you haven't read in Genesis about actual Adam,
right,
you're not going to understand why it's talking about Christ as the second Adam and things like that. It doesn't mean we're not saying you should read starting in Genesis. I think you should read.
Matter of fact, don't.
Don't.
Right?
We suggest you start with like the book of Matthew or Luke.
Yeah.
So start with the book of Matthew or Luke in the Bible. But just remember as you read it that there's things being connected all over to all different parts of scripture that you may not know. And so if there's something that weird, it might just be some sort of subtle. You know how you have inside jokes with people?
Oh, yeah.
Right, like that's kind of knit together.
Yeah.
Right, unless you know that inside joke, what the person just said is going to sound really weird.
Right.
And it's not going to make any sense. And so...
That's a good analogy.
That is, yeah, thank you. I just came up with that one. Anyway.
All right.
So enough of that. But yeah, it's true.
Breathe out a little bit so your head unswells.
So we're gonna think of the Bible in those terms, right? There's these inside sayings.
Yeah.
That unless you understand it, you're not going to be able to grasp it. And then you have the E.
Early meaning manuscript.
Mm-hmm. So sometimes you're going to come across a word, and this is some of the stuff we're going to talk about today. It meant something different 2,000 years ago.
Right.
And then the D.
Dialect.
Dialect is when someone says something, are they using sarcasm? Are they making an analogy? Are they talking literally? Is this a biography or is this poetry? What is it? So just remember a cracked acronym, and then you have to use tools. So let's get into when you study the Bible, what are the tools you need?
All right.
The first tool you need is a good blender.
Yeah, because that's what I thought. Because
you want to make a milkshake before you read the Bible.
Before this list?
Oh, sorry. Oh, no. So I was on.
I thought maybe I was missing a page.
I'm a little hangry. All right, let's get into the Bible study tools. Bible study tools, not food preparation.
Mm-hmm, right.
All right, the first thing you need is?
A good translation.
That's right. A good translation of the Bible. Most of the Bible was written in Hebrew.
If you're in the Old Testament.
Thank you, Dan.
Sorry. I was like, in the kitchen?
And the rest of it is, he's still on the kicking. Cooking. All right, let's try that again. Most of the Bible is written in Hebrew.
Yeah, in the Old Testament.
I'm going to try one more time.
Sorry.
Most of the Bible is written in Hebrew.
In the Old Testament.
And then the other part was written in Greek.
In the New Testament.
Thank you, Dave. So it must be translated into English. Mm-hmm. Right, you got to translate it. So you have to have a good translation. That's why there's so many different Bibles, because there's so many different ways to translate from one language to another language. Gordon Fee writes a book, and he says this.
The trouble with using only one translation, be it ever so good, is that you are thereby committed to the exegetical choices of that translation of the Word of God.
Exegetical choices?
Yeah.
What's he talking about?
Weird words.
Exegetical just means you're exegeting, you're taking what the text means and you're getting the real meaning out of it. Mm-hmm. So what he's saying is when someone translates from Greek to English, they have to not only translate the word, they have to try to decide what the person was trying to communicate.
Right.
And so sometimes they make translation, not just translations, but they make interpretations at the same time. So when you read more than one translation, it's like, oh, hey, in this Bible, it said it this way. In the other Bible, it said it this way. And you start to get a balanced view of what the Greek language was really communicating. Yeah. Exegesis is when you draw truth out of the Bible. Eisegesis is where you believe something and then you put it into the Bible.
It's like you inject your own truth.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like if I believe that red is the best color, and
you'd be wrong.
And I say, Dave, tell me some of your favorite colors.
Orange.
And he says orange.
Blue.
And blue. And I'm like, well, what he meant when he said some of his favorite colors are orange and blue was probably that, well, red is his most favorite, but orange and blue are just up there. You know, that's like, I'm inserting that, right?
Don't it's just me.
Sorry. All right. Anyway, the point here is you got to use a good translation, but you should also use multiple translations if you really want to study. And if you're just reading to read, that's fine. But if you want to know more about a section, pull it out in a different translation. Bible apps on your phones are great for this.
Right.
Because you can get a bunch of different translations all in one phone. And then we want to talk about the different translations. Some of them are called thought for thought, and some of them are word for word. Now, either is good. So when I say something in Spanish, I'm going to totally make something up here. And if you speak Spanish natively, please forgive me. All right. Hay un fiesta en mi cabeza. All right. There is
a party in your head.
There's a party in my head. That's a word for word translation.
Mm-hmm.
I could translate the thought, though. The thought is, I'm crazy.
Yeah, right? It'd be true.
All right. So that's the thought that I'm communicating is I'm crazy. But the word for word is, there's a party in my head.
Right.
And so some Bibles translate word for word. Some Bibles translate thought for thought. I like thought-for-thought translations when I'm reading, when I'm studying and giving a sermon. I like to know word-for-word because as a pastor, I want to know every word.
Yeah.
But when you read, I suggest different types of Bibles. So we're gonna here's an example of different translations. Okay, Titus chapter 2, verse 1 says it this way.
Okay, in the NIV 2011, you, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine.
Okay, and in the NIV 1984.
You must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine.
And in the NET.
But as for you, communicate the behavior that goes with sound teaching.
And the NASB.
But as for you, speak the things that are fitting for sound doctrine.
And the KJV.
But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine.
And you can tell how they're all a little different, but the main thrust is the same.
Right.
And so that's why it's nice. Now, we're going to go ahead and put on our website a list of good Bible translations.
Okay.
There's this little table right here. If you're watching on video, you can see it. There's this little table right here.
It's got tiny legs and a little tiny...
Dave. All right, so...
Coffee cups.
A couple of the good translations. The NET. All right. The really nice thing about the NET is that it has no copyright.
Really?
Yeah, it really. It was made in 2005, so it's pretty modern language.
What were they thinking? They're not going to make no money off of that.
They were interested in making money. They were interested in putting out a good Bible translation, right? So there's no copyright. You can copy it, give it to people, no problem. There's a version called The Message. A lot of people have.
Right.
That's a paraphrase. Don't ever use a paraphrase alone. A paraphrase is not just, it's not word for word, and it's not thought for thought. It's like 8 paragraphs per 8 paragraphs. Like, you will describe something and you'll say 8, 9, 10 sentences on it. Mm-hmm. And then a paraphrase kind of sums up and expands on those thoughts the way the author wants to write
it. Okay, gotcha.
And so a paraphrase is, I mean, it's good to have a paraphrase, but it's really more like a teaching tool for whoever wrote the paraphrase. They're kind of teaching what their thoughts are on that section.
Okay.
They're just rephrasing it. Then there's the NIV. It was originally made in the 70s, right. And then they redid it. We use the 2011 version here. We love the NIV. It's a great one. There's all kinds of other versions, but if you're only going to get two, I would say NET and NIV.
Okay.
All right.
Awesome.
So I have over 30 Bible translations that sometimes I'll flip through during my sermon prep, but that's beyond what most people need.
Right.
Really, you just need one or two. I say get an NIV and get an NET. All right, the next tool you need is what, Dave?
A study Bible.
Is a study Bible. Okay, so this is not just a translation, but this is the type of Bible you get. Because a good study Bible can help you understand and interpret parts of the Bible that maybe raise questions. So a study Bible has notes on the side or in the middle somewhere that explains what you're reading.
Right. I have an NIV study Bible at home. And before every chapter, it kind of gives out the lay of the land.
Yes.
For the upcoming, not chapter, but for the upcoming book.
Yeah.
And so you kind of get an idea of when was it written? Who was it written to?
Who wrote it?
Yeah, who wrote it? And what is the kind of idea that that was going on around that whole book?
Exactly. Why they write it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is great.
It's great to know, yeah.
It is great to know. And so Study Bible does that. You have the NIV Study Bible. That's the whole ones I suggest. Here's an example. Okay, we read Psalm 2:2, and it says this:
"The king of the earth rise up. The kings of the earth rise up, and rulers band together against the Lord and against His anointed."
Okay, you read that, and you're like, "Okay, so what the heck does that mean?"
Right.
Well, if you have the Quest Study Bible, it says on the side, "Messiah comes from the Hebrew word for anointed." When the Israelites read this, they thought of their king. But early followers of Jesus recognized these words were a foreshadowing of the Son of God. So then you're like, oh, so when it says the kings of the earth and the rulers band together against the Lord and His anointed, oh, that's not just talking about someone they poured oil on. That's talking about Jesus.
Right.
People are going to rise up and attack Jesus. Okay, well, that makes more sense. Or here's another example, John 12.
Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it.
Who cares? Why would the Bible say that? Well, if you have the Quest Study Bible, it'll say this.
Why did Jesus ride on a donkey? Donkeys or mules are often associated with leaders. By riding this young colt, however, Jesus demonstrated His humility and gentleness. He also fulfilled one of the prophecies of the Messiah, Zechariah 9:9.
So there we go. Now, you read this verse, you're like, why did the Bible tell me Jesus sat on a donkey? Who cares?
Right.
Well, the Quest Study Bible tells you why you should care, because in their time, that meant He's humble, it meant He was a leader, and He also just fulfilled a prophecy. That's
Bang,
a big deal.
Right.
So good study Bibles are really important to have. We're going to also put this table on our website, a list of good study Bibles. You have the NIV Study Bible?
Mm-hmm.
Great one. Awesome. I have Quest
Study. Did something right.
I have a Quest Study Bible. That's a great one.
All right.
So we're going to be right back. We're going to answer Bible contradiction, and we're going to continue telling you about Bible tools you should have.
Amen.
You don't want to miss this. It's going to be good stuff. Dave, where should they go?
They should actually go out to Truth Revolution. Or they should go to Root Revolution Church. They should go to truthrevolution.tv. And if they can't make it to either one, go to revo.church.
Those are all good places to go. Revolution Church is where we're from. You can come on out. We'd love to have you.
Sorry,
just be part of what we're doing
more.
Here. Truthrevolution.tv is our website. Thank you so much to all of you. Listen and share this on social media.
Amen.
We try to make this accessible to everybody who wants to listen. I had someone email me today from a radio station saying there's no other program like yours.
Awesome.
There really isn't that does apologetics and stuff like this.
That's great to hear.
So thanks for sharing and thanks for contributing to the program. We'll be right back.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
The fall of mankind.
Oh, jeez, Dave. Is it that big of a deal?
Well, throughout the history of the world, only a handful of events could be considered both small and giant with colossal lasting repercussions.
One of these may include the Shah heard around the world in April 1775. A small band of Minutemen led to the growth of the United States of America.
Or April 20th, 1889, the day a young baby named Adolf Hitler was born. There is nothing quite as innocent as a newborn child, yet the terror he would unleash would be as prolific as it was dreadful.
Think about the fall of humankind like those, except much, much grander.
The simple act of eating a fruit doomed mankind to death.
The fall influenced God's relationship to mankind and to creation itself, thistles, storms, and more.
It affected mankind's relationship to creation, God, and each other.
If you're looking for answers as to why are there problems, it can almost always be traced back to this one event.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Hey, Pastor Jeff.
What's up, Pastor Dave?
I saw a guy come into Revolution Church the other day wearing an old ripped up Nirvana t-shirt.
Like the band?
Yeah.
What'd you do?
I gave him a fist bump and some coffee.
Yeah, all right. At Revolution Church, we aren't worried what you look like, but we do want you and your family to learn about Jesus along with us.
Check us out online at revo.church.
That's revo.church. 10 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 5 p.m., revo.church. You know, Revolution Church isn't the only great church in town. There's lots of them. For instance, we love Crossroads Church.
Hey, if you don't like religion or traditional church, but you know there's got to be more to life than what you've got going on right now, check us out at Crossroads Church. We're a church with a difference.
Now, what does that mean?
Well, we've got rock music, informal comfort, a bunch of broken people who are actually happy, and kicking words of life that'll set you free.
And when do you meet?
Sunday mornings, 10 o'clock.
And where can they find you?
Facebook us at Crossroads Church Salina.
Do you love Truth Revolution?
Of course they do, Dave.
Well, if you do, or
if you appreciate the fact that thousands of people are being taught that Christianity is compatible with science and logic,
or if you simply love the fact that we hear from people often who say, "This show changed my life. I love Jesus."
Then consider a donation.
You can visit truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church and donate.
We don't get paid from this show,
but it's our goal to give truth, give knowledge, give encouragement.
And your giving keeps all of our giving going. Some Christians treat the love of God like something to be reflected, like a mirror. It hits them and immediately goes out, but the problem is they don't feel it. Some treat God's love like a coat. They feel the warmth, but it never goes anywhere else. I like to think of it like a battery. We soak up the love of Jesus, but that energy and love is meant to be used for something else. We receive the love from God, and it translates into taking care of orphans and widows and foster kids. Be a battery for Jesus.
Truth Revolution.
And we're back. We're talking about if you want to know the Bible, you need tools.
That's right.
We're here to talk about it.
We've gone over a good Bible translation. We've talked about a good study Bible. Mm-hmm. The other thing you have to really have is a good Bible dictionary and mm-hmm. encyclopedia. Now, I'm going to draw a line right now.
Okay.
If you just stop.
That's a nasty sounded line.
That was pretty gross.
Yeah.
If you just stop at Bible, you get a good translation, mm-hmm. the NIV, that's okay. That'll be all right. If you just get a good Bible, a good study Bible, you're worlds ahead by having a good study Bible.
Right.
And if you want to stop there, that's fine. You've gotten a good study Bible, that's great. Now, if you want more out of it, so that when you're reading the Bible, you can actually go, "Tell me more," then this is the next thing you should probably get. Okay, a good Bible dictionary and encyclopedia. Why, Dave? And it tells you right at the bottom there. If you'll just read that awesome little paragraph.
Commentary here, right?
Yes.
Yeah, commentary.
No. Good. You're ahead of the game.
You
Dave.
Said right at the bottom. Well, related.
I'm going to go ahead and read what I'm supposed to read.
Oh, wow.
A good Bible dictionary can provide deeper insights into topics. If you want to know more about grace, you can simply look it up. And it may include a definition, a list of Bible passages about grace, the different kinds of grace, discussion on grace, how should grace affect us, different ways people use the word grace. And so this sort of dictionary tells you all sorts of information.
Right.
You know, it says, "Hey, the tribe of Judah." And you're like, "What's the tribe of Judah?" You just open it up and it tells you all about the tribe of Judah.
That's great. I'm just waiting for you to catch up. That's all.
What are you talking about?
Because I was,
oh,
I was
you're ahead of me. Sorry. That's right. It's but really a good Bible dictionary like this really expands your knowledge, because at any moment you can stop reading the Bible when you're like, what is that? And you open the Bible dictionary, and it will be a Bible dictionary is actually bigger than a Bible. There's more words.
Well,
than
yeah,
the Bible.
Because I mean, you have to when you're looking up stuff in the Bible, you're going to have more words that explain what that stuff is.
Exactly, because it's
gonna
explaining make it bigger. Everything right. in the Bible, right? So, but these books aren't meant to be read cover to cover. They're meant they're reference books. So you don't understand something.
Mm-hmm.
You don't understand when it says Melchizedek, the name of a guy.
Right.
Who the heck is Melchizedek? So you open your Bible dictionary to Melchizedek and you find out who he was.
So what if someone has the propensity of just picking up a dictionary and just reading it anyway?
Well, that's totally fine. Yeah. I actually did that for a long time.
You did.
I liked that stuff.
Uh-huh.
I Bible dictionaries are one of my favorite things because it's like just so much knowledge. You just crack it open. It's like right there. So much knowledge.
It's awesome.
So yeah, I love those. We got a table. We're going to put this on the website as well.
Okay.
I don't know if we just want to put the tables on or just one document with all the tables in it, but Dave will take care of that.
We're going to figure it out.
Evangelical Dictionary of Theology is one of my favorites. Very thorough, very complete. About the important pieces of Christian theology. Next on the list, Dave, they've gotten a Bible, they've gotten a study Bible, they bought a Bible dictionary. What should they have next?
A concordance.
A concordance.
Mm-hmm.
A concordance allows you to find what?
They like to find a specific word.
Yep. Any words you want to find in the Bible. You want to find the word lust? A concordance tells you every Bible verse with the word lust in it. And here's what's neat. You don't even have to buy a concordance nowadays. You can just go to Google.
Right, there you go.
BibleGateway.com.
Yeah.
Type in, where does the Bible talk about this? Or just go to BibleGateway.com, type in a word, and it'll bring up all of those. Or use your Bible app that Life Church makes.
Yeah.
Those are all really good. But a nice exhaustive concordance is good to have too, just in case. And then here's a nice thing to have. This once you got your Bible, your study Bible, your Bible dictionary, you know how to look up anything, any word in concordance. Here's the next thing you should start to get.
A commentary.
Now, Dave, I'm ready for you to read.
Okay. Commentaries provide articles and insight into specific chapters and verses of the Bible. For instance, if you were studying 1 Corinthians 3:1, there would be commentaries that address the book of 1 Corinthians and the third chapter and verse 1. Commentaries can be often longer than the Bible itself because they explain many things about each verse.
That's right. That's right. Right. Now, I'm going to explain more about commentaries, but first, we're going to answer Bible contradiction.
Bible contradiction.
All right, Bible contradiction today is revenge acceptable?
Well, let's see what the Bible says.
All right, Psalm 58, 10 through 11, 10 and 11 says, "The righteous will be glad when they are avenged, when they bathe their feet in the blood of the wicked. Then men will say, surely the righteous still are rewarded. Surely there is a God who judges the earth, so revenge is celebrated."
Ah.
Proverbs 24, 17 and 18 says, "However, do not gloat when your enemy falls. When he stumbles, do not let your heart rejoice, or the Lord will see and disprove and turn his wrath away from him." So basically, do not rejoice over the calamity of your enemy. So which one is it?
Well, we're going to use our cracked acronym as always, and the word dialect, the letter D, dialect, is what we're going to use. The book of Psalms is a certain genre of literature. What is it?
Poetry?
Poetry! Poetry! It's songs and music and poetry. And so when you read the book of Psalms, you're reading poetry. The book of Proverbs is wisdom literature.
Mm-hmm.
So you're reading wise ideas. So when we read in Psalm 58 that the righteous will bathe their feet in the blood of the wicked, this is...
That sounds pretty poetic.
They're not saying, okay, if you're a good person, here's what you should do now.
Right.
You should get some blood of wicked people and put it in a bucket and soak your feet for 25 minutes now. That's not what it's saying.
Oh.
It's just, it's using...
Kind of excited there for a second.
It's using poetry. I don't know why someone from Minnesota would... That sounded like a Minnesotan, I think. But when you're the poet is simply trying to say, there's going to be a lot of joy when God comes, he punishes evil, and he rewards his followers.
Right.
That's just true. And he's just expressing it with poetic words. The wise teacher in the book of Proverbs says, hey, don't get all arrogant. Don't boast. Don't be prideful when your enemy messes up. Otherwise, God's going to say, okay, you know what? You punish him enough. I'm not going to.
Right.
That's what he's saying.
That makes good sense.
These aren't contradicting each other. Psalms is not saying you should gloat and be arrogant. It's just expressively, poetically expressing the giant contrast between what's going to happen to the people who are judged and the people who are obeying God, and how much joy the people who are obeying God is going to feel
right.
when the people who didn't obey God are being punished and we are in the presence of God. So that's all it's saying.
Bible contradiction.
All right.
There we go. Now we're back. So we were talking about commentaries. Mm-hmm. And a commentary. Okay. So Bible dictionary will, if you want to look up the word grace, like what does grace mean? You open it up and it tells you all about grace, wherever it's used in the Bible. But a commentary is kind of like that. A little different. You don't look up the word grace. You look up a specific verse.
Right.
John 21:15. I want to know. So if I want to know this verse better, I open a commentary. For instance, let's read this, Dave.
What,
for John 21:15-17.
Okay. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me?
Okay, so we read this and we're like, wow, Jesus just asked a lot, do you love me? And mm-hmm. we move on. I don't know why Peter cried about that.
Really needy.
Yeah, Peter's really needy.
Yeah.
But when you read the commentary, you get to learn something that you didn't know.
Right.
So we open the commentary to John 21 because we want to know more about this passage, and we read this in the Wycliffe Bible Commentary.
Peter's grief here may be traced to two things. First, the threefold questioning may well have suggested his threefold denial.
Okay, so it's like, oh, okay, so Peter denied Jesus three times earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus is asking him three times, do you
right.
love me?
Oh, he's like, giving him a makeup.
He's giving him a makeup.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Second, Jesus abandoned his word for love, agapao. Okay. And used the one Peter employed, phileo, a word indicative of warm affection, but perhaps considered inferior to the other.
Oh, so we see now that the third time Peter got his feelings hurt because Jesus didn't say, do you really love me? He said, hey, do you love me like a friend?
Yeah.
And if you had a Bible dictionary, you'd be able to look up phileo and agapao and see the difference too.
There you go. Wow.
So, wow. We are able to learn a lot from this.
Mm-hmm.
Like that makes a difference. The next study tool you should have is software. Dave? Tell me a little bit about software.
Well, Bible software can be very helpful.
Yes.
An advantage is having everything you need at your fingertips. The disadvantages include being distracted by Facebook, not having tactile interaction, and not having any Bible tools available if your computer is unavailable or if it crashes.
That's right. Now, I do all my sermon work on a computer,
mm-hmm.
but I do my personal devotions with a study Bible and other hard books. So when I'm working on a sermon, you know, I'm using the computer all the time. I'm typing my sermon. I'm writing my sermon. So I use the computer, but when I just for me, when I sit down to read the Bible, just to know God and love him more myself, I use an actual Bible, a physical Bible. It's a study Bible. It's actually, I think right now I'm using the Life Application Study Bible,
mm-hmm.
and other hard books. So, some programs I like, PC Study Bible, blueletterbible.com has a lot of commentaries, BibleGateway.com, BibleStudyTools.com. And then the final thing we're going to mention today before we're done.
Books.
You gotta read some books.
Jeff loves to read a lot.
We're going to link to a list of books.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the tools we talk today are reference tools. Books are different. They're usually made to be easier to understand than reference tools. Right? A reference tool, you're reading the Bible, you want to know more about that thing, you look it up.
Right.
You reference it. Books are like, hey, dude, I just want to talk about this subject and explain it in a way you can understand.
Nice.
So books are really easy. There are great books. There are awful books.
Got to be careful.
Christians should read books in addition to their Bibles. Many authors have put like years and years studying a specific idea or topic, and they explain that in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Something that would take you decades to learn.
Right?
The author just puts it right there for you. That's why books are so important, because they've studied the Bible so in depth on this topic for many years. They want to give you what they studied and learned.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. So we're going to link to a list of books. Thanks for listening today. Hopefully now you will have the tools you need. Go buy that stuff.
Amen.
Obviously, we're not selling it. This isn't for money. But you
right.
know, if you want to donate to the show to make sure that we can stay on air and continue offering stuff like this, that would be very appreciated.
Amen.
Without people donating and caring, we're going to go off air. So hope you guys can do that. But we are put on air by a lot of these channels for free. So thank you to the stations too. We love all you guys who've helped it out. Everyone who sent in a question. If you got a question, send it in. We respond to everyone who asks. And I hope you'll come out to Revolution Church this coming Sunday. Revo.church.